Okay, well, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So this morning we are, if you've got your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to open them up. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 is where I'm going to be reading from this morning and speaking from around. Jump off. Okay, Acts 1, verse 4, it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he, being Jesus, gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The promised gift was the Holy Spirit, that prophetic utterance that came from Joel, which we read in Joel 2, 28 to 29, that said, and on that day, I'll pour out my spirit on all peoples, on sons and daughters. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. This was what was to be fulfilled in this gift. The Spirit of God was going to come upon and dwell within God's people. Jesus says that the Spirit will come and empower them so that they will then be witnesses in Jerusalem, where they are, and then out into Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. The Spirit coming was and is to empower us and to teach, to lead and guide and direct, to instruct, to intercede and to heal, to move and to minister to those called by God. But before the Spirit was to come, they were told that they would have to wait. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke about Peter and a couple of his friends who were also disciples who went fishing. Now, some might say that this is a really good way of waiting, killing some time. But we can glean from Jesus, for we can glean from reading that this wasn't what Jesus had in mind. The Peter that we read about at the end of John, the one on the beach, is a very different man that we read about at the beginning of Acts. Having had his relationship restored back to Jesus, we now read of him and others doing what Jesus had asked of them. They were waiting in the city. And together with the other disciples and followers of Jesus, they were in an upstairs room praying and waiting for this gift to come. Now, from what we know, this waiting period was about 10 days. According to the church calendar, Jesus was on earth for 40 days after his resurrection before he ascended into heaven. And then it's recorded that 10 days later, the Spirit of God came, moving spectacularly and powerfully for those who were in the room, indeed empowering them to speak and to preach. Now, 10 days doesn't seem long to us when we're standing this side of history. And we know that the power and the incredible impact of the Spirit on them and then down through the ages and upon our lives and the lives of others throughout the world was worth the wait. But we can imagine that those 10 days might have seemed really long, a really long wait. I don't know about you, but waiting is an incredibly difficult thing for me to do. I find it hard waiting for the 30 seconds that it takes to reheat my coffee in the microwave. My family, it's not just me because there are others in the family, but often our microwave doesn't sit at 000, it sits at 06. Someone can't wait 6 more seconds to heat their wheat pack up. It's either 6 seconds or 15 seconds, I've noticed, Eleanor Rook. She can't wait either. We're often waiting for things. We're waiting for all sorts of things. And you can probably, you know, we're waiting for someone to respond to us by text, or we're waiting for tomorrow to come, or we're waiting for the next weekend to come. Mother's Day, it's an exciting weekend. Mums, we're all waiting for that one, aren't we? Pardon? For super to come? Yep, something, some money to land into our bank accounts. Seriously, we're all waiting for something. We absolutely are. Thank you, Deirdre, proving my point. But I wonder if today, that there are some things that you are waiting on God for. It might be promises of God that you've read about in the scriptures that you have been holding on to, longing for them to be outworked in your life. Or maybe it's some prophetic words that have been spoken over you that you are still waiting for God to fulfill. Could it be that you're waiting on God to move in certain areas of your life? Or maybe in members of your family's lives? And there are a couple of things that I can attest to in this. You know, I am waiting, you know, for some personal things, absolutely, but I'm waiting for my healing. I've got a frozen shoulder, and it's incredibly painful and it's incredibly disruptive in my life. Every day, almost every single moment of the day, I am waiting for my healing to come about. I'm also waiting for God on the coming home of our sons, of the day that they will recognize once again that Jesus is their Lord and Savior and that He is more than enough for them. And we as a church community, we know what it's been like to wait. I think over 10 years when we started looking for a place to call home, over 10 years ago, and it was kind of like Martin Street was a bit of a bus stop where we were waiting for a while, waiting, 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 and in that waiting, gosh, was that a really challenging time for some of us. And now we have a place to call home. Maybe you're waiting on God for something. Maybe it's an understanding for a situation, or maybe it is a breakthrough in a certain area in your life, maybe overcoming addictions. Maybe it's you're waiting for healing to come. Maybe it is financial struggles, and God, how will you provide? Maybe you're waiting for some opportunities to open up for you that you can step into. Maybe you're waiting for some direction or some wisdom to know how to deal with a situation. Maybe you're waiting for long-held dreams to come to pass, or maybe just some very short-term needs that you have. I don't know what it is that you're waiting on God for, but I imagine you know the challenge of waiting. Now, some of our waits may only be a matter of days, which can seem in itself a real lifetime, but sometimes, though, it can be months and it can be years. And still, we're waiting for a glimmer of something to happen. God, when are you going to move? You know, there is, I reckon, sometimes this expectation that God will move instantly because He can. However, most likely, many of us know that this doesn't always happen. And we find ourselves in God's waiting room, sitting, and all we can hear is the sound of the second-hand clock ticking very loudly. Yes, we remember that verse that the Lord, that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day. Oh. Knowing in our heads that God's timing is perfect, we know this to be true, but the reality is something really different. So how do we wait? How do we wait well? Like those disciples post-breakfast on the beach. We're in that place, in that room, they were united and they were focused and they were patiently waiting together in prayer for the promised gift. This morning we're going to use the word WAIT as an acronym to unpack this a little bit. So the first letter is W and it is welcome the wait. More than anything, this speaks of our attitude and of our posture. Now, this for me, though, is kind of up there with that verse in James 1, where it said, when James writes, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work in you, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Consider it pure joy. Welcome the wait. If we take a similar viewpoint to James, what it helps us to is to acknowledge that in our waiting, God is working. And God is not only working out on the outcome of what it is that we're waiting for, but that there is the hope and the possibility that God is also working in our lives as we allow Him, so that our faith and our trust in Him continues to grow. It's in this waiting time where our faith kind of digs deep. Our roots grow longer. going deep into the soil of God's goodness and faithfulness. It's also in this waiting space and in this waiting time that we get to learn things about ourselves and we get to learn things about God. Time is really good at revealing what our motivation is, where our hearts are at, and what are the things that are really important to us, and who and what are we putting our hope and trust in. It's in the being still and waiting on God that He can show us things that maybe we couldn't see or that we didn't understand. Isaiah 40, verse 28. I love these verses. Do you not know? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. If nothing else, ponder on that for the rest of the week. He gives us strength. He gives strength to the weary, it goes on, and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not faint. Those that wait upon the Lord will have their strength renewed. And I just want to encourage you today, if you have been waiting on God, if you have been hoping and longing for something to come to pass for some time, and if you have grown weary and grown tired, may this morning, may you have your strength renewed in the empowering presence of the Spirit of God. The thing is that we may have ideas and ideals about how things will work out. And we become very focused on a certain kind of outcome or a way that the outcome might turn out or how it might happen to be. And so looking at the scripture, it goes on to say that those who wait on the Lord will soar on wings like eagles. I wonder if it is that as we wait on God, there are times when God allows us to have a vision like an eagle does, from a higher perspective, from His perspective, so that we might begin to see things from His point of view rather than our limited, narrow viewpoint. And in doing so, this broadens our thinking and it broadens our understanding and helps us realize again that our lives are part of a larger story and that God is not only working out things for us, but He's working out things for many of us. For all of us, for our good and for His glory. It's also in the waiting where there is always that invitation to draw closer to God, to lean into Him and to trust Him in a deeper way. In the waiting, we can learn more about God's character and nature, especially when things aren't moving quickly around us. It gives us this opportunity to pause and to wonder. When in our hope and in our desperation, we yield ourselves to Him and His ways. It's in these times that our trust in Him can really deepen. If we were to search back through scriptures, we can read of others who have had their faith deepened and their trust grown in God as they waited. You think of Joseph and you think of David. Both of those men were young men when they had their dreams, when words were spoken over them, promises over their lives. And while the journey towards them being fulfilled wasn't always straight and it wasn't always good, still they remained faithful. Still they continue on in that journey and their trust in God continued to deepen. And again, the young men who started the journey were not the men whose lives and characters had been shaped by the waiting process at the end. They needed to have that whole process so that they could, for Joseph, he could have the wisdom and the experience to lead the country at the time. And for David, this young man, his life absolutely needed to be changed so that he could one day become a king who would rule as God would have him. And all of it, God was reforming and forming and reshaping their lives. But we can also read about people who didn't wait on God, who didn't take matters into their own hands, such as Abraham, all that followed with Hagar and Ishmael, and the Israelites. While Moses was up the mountain with God, they couldn't wait. And the same is true for us. We can choose to wait on God, trusting him, no matter how long it's going to take for the promises to be fulfilled, the things to come to fruition, or not. But in the waiting, if we allow him, God can continue to form and reform and transform our lives so that we will become more like Jesus, so that we will desire to be with him and to do the things as he did. So welcoming the wait sees us being open to what it is that God is doing and what God can do in this time, and it's trusting him with his timing. The A is for active wait, and the I is for being intentional, which means that our waiting isn't passive, but it isn't also trying to work things out for ourselves. There will be times when we have to be doing something in our waiting, but it does require us discerning and knowing exactly what it is. What we don't want to have is this attitude of apathy. It's like, oh, well, I'm just going to sit back and God can do what he wants to do and I'll kind of just let go and see what he does. It's not that, nor is it that we should be really anxious and worrying about everything and saying, well, what do I do? When is God going to move? And what's going to happen if he doesn't do something? And, you know, we start to get all anxious and start to get worried about things. Nor do we want to force things to happen and then take matters into our own hands and end up doing what we think is right, but it's in our own strength, which then leaves us exhausted mentally, emotionally, and physically, and the outcome is never as good as God's. So how can we be active and intentional as we wait on God? And the answer really is the things, no doubt, that you are already doing in your daily practices. But they can also be ones that we can lose sight of as we continue to wait. Because sometimes we're really good at praying or we're good at doing these things for the immediate things, but we kind of let go of the things that we've been holding on to for so long. Okay, so how do we do it? We can be like the disciples and we can continue in prayer, trusting that God is hearing us. Micah 7:7 says, "But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my Savior. My God will hear me." Trusting that God is hearing our prayers. Even if we've been praying them for years and years, the same prayer every single day, trusting that he's hearing us. The Psalms are full of people pouring out their prayers to God. And they read them and take heart in them if they help you. Use them to help voice your own pain, your need for strength and the longing and the waiting, but also in the hope and trust of God, because that's what they do. They pour out their heart, but still their trust and their hope is in God. Praying the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This helps us to refocus our prayers. Let your will be done, not mine. Let your will be done. And give us this day our daily bread. Let us know, Lord, don't leave us standing here without anything. And we know him to be so good and so gracious. He does indeed give us what we need. Cast all your cares onto him, for he cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. In prayer, we can lay down our struggle. We can bring them before him and our angst that we might be feeling in our waiting. How long, Lord, are we going to have to wait for this to happen? And being still and knowing that he is God, in the presence of the Almighty, our silent prayers, our stillness, bringing ourselves before him is an active prayer. But then there's also scripture, the reading of scripture, which goes so well hand in hand with praying, because scripture reminds us of who God is. Reading and reflecting on Jesus reveals to us the character and the nature of God. And it reminds us of how God has moved for others in the past, different people in different situations and sometimes in really different ways, but ways that were perfect for the people and their needs. You know, think of the Israelites in Egypt. How long had they been waiting for God to come and rescue them? Years, hundreds of years they had been waiting for him. And then when he came, he brought Moses. And then the plagues and things like that unfolded. And then the parting of the sea. Who would ever have thought of that, that was how God was going to deliver them? They leaned in and they waited. And they waited for God to move. Reading scripture helps us to put our hope in God and in his promises. There are so many promises in there for us to hold on to. And in turn, it helps us to put our hope and confidence in God rather than in man or in people. Scripture also helps us to trust in him and not in our own understanding. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It's also guarding your minds and your hearts, our hearts in Christ Jesus, taking our thoughts captive to him. It's the things that we ponder on, maybe that we're concerned about. It's what I'm thinking true. Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it admirable? Bringing our thoughts before him, allowing him to direct us. Because it can be so easy for us to doubt, no matter how long we've been waiting and how good we've been waiting, there can be this moment of turning to doubt that God is listening, to believe that God is good, that he cares about us and the things that matter to us. I remember when we were trying to have children, and there were some challenges that we were facing, and I needed some medical intervention, and there was the hope that I was going to be pregnant. And it kind of was looking like that was the case. And then there was something that happened which to me indicated that it hadn't happened. And I can remember being so incredibly distraught. I had trusted God all the way. My faith had kind of seen, had just been like, yep, I trust God no matter what. And if it doesn't happen, then that's okay. But truly believing that this was going to happen. And then it seemed like it wasn't. And then all the time that I'd been kind of felt I was really strong, all of a sudden I doubted God. And in that moment, and I can remember, I was out running and I was crying and, God, what's happened? Why haven't you? And just this whole lot of doubt and fear kind of crept back in. And I came home and kind of managed to move on and move through it. However, that was just a little hiccup along the way because I was actually pregnant. And the joy of that. However, what I'm trying to say in that moment, it's so easy for us to hold on and to hold on and then all of a sudden let go and for doubt to come in. But keeping our minds, if only I had, but God knows. If only I'd kept my mind and my heart right and before him. Still I could pour out my heart, but I doubted in that moment. Having the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5. I've very open and for a long time I would, have my Bible open and I'd be pointing to it, pointing to scriptures as though to say, God, are you reading your word? Because I'm reading your word. And I'd sort of get a little bit demanding of God. And I'm not saying that that's not okay, but I just, the scripture in Philippians 2:5, where it reminds us to be humble and to be obedient. And I know my prayer has turned from being kind of demanding, God, this is what you have said, to God, this is what your word says. And I'm trusting you that you will fulfill what your word is for me and for us in this moment, whatever it might be. But it's also, guarding our minds and our hearts. It's also praying. It's reading the word, but it's also watching. Watching with expectancy that God is and that he is and he will fulfill it. But be prepared for unexpected answers. Because again, sometimes we have a very certain idea of how God should, things should unfold and in the timing that we want it to be. However, God in his wisdom answers prayers often quite different ways, but in very deep and very rich ways, which have a greater effect, not just for us, but those around us. And how awful it would be if we were to miss the fulfillment of a promise because we weren't watching for it to happen and watching for it to unfold. So being active and intentional in the wait, it's our posture and our position for God to move in us and through us and around us. For as we do that, that's where our hearts and our lives are transformed. That's where we grow. That's how our roots go down deep in Him. And then the last is the T, and it's trusting together. The disciples, in their time of waiting, they came together. Remember, at the end of John, Peter and a couple of the disciples went out. There was this kind of scattering going on. I'm heading off, and some of them said, yeah, I'm going to come with you as well. Where were the others? Where were the other 100 or so? But in this moment, there were the disciples and the followers of Jesus, and they were all together in that upper room. And I imagine that as they gathered together like that, they were beginning to share their memories and their stories. Do you remember when Jesus said that? Oh, that's what he was talking about. I remember, you know, all this, what often happens when someone leaves and goes away, the memories begin to come up and rise up. And I imagine in that time as they shared, their hearts were stirred once more and they were encouraged and it strengthened them so that they could wait together. And it drew them closer together. When the wait is long and hard, we can so easily lose heart and we can so easily forget what it is that we're hoping for. Because life goes on and there are urgent needs and there are things that are happening around us that take our attention. And I completely understand that because I know that for myself. And looking at this and trying to understand what wait means for me, I realize some of the things that I have forgotten about, and the Spirit just reminded me. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna take that back, and I'm gonna continue to wait. And I can see even that some of those things, in particular, could not come to fruition because I was not ready for that. Maybe that's for you as well. That something that you have been waiting for a long time ago can only come to fruition because of time. Time working out, God working things out in our lives and in the lives of others around us. So yeah, we can forget and we can easily lose heart. So praying for one another, encouraging one another and sharing our lives together, sharing our hopes and our dreams and our frustrations and our weariness of waiting is so necessary and so important because the journey is not one that we should be traveling alone. Well, for some of us, our wait, whatever it is that we are hoping for and waiting for, will come to an end. And we'll be able to give thanks to God for what he has done and celebrating in his goodness like we can in this place as we, every day when I drive up the driveway, thank you, God. Thank you, God. The joy of coming to work is so great. But for some of us, our wait may continue for some time yet. So the encouraging word and the reminder of the goodness and the faithfulness of God that we would be hopeful and hope-filled is why we need one another. So as we come to communion this morning, as it's being handed out, I'd like us to take a moment to consider what it is that you might be waiting on God for. And if your mind comes up a blank, then just still yourselves and say, Spirit of God, show me what it is maybe that I have put aside for whatever reason. Because it was too hard to keep waiting and to keep hoping. And then once we've all received the emblems, I'm going to pray. And then what I'd like to do is for us to gather together in groups of three or four. And if you can, to share with one another what it is that you're waiting on God for. If that's too hard, that's okay. But then together, pray for one another. Maybe we remind each other of a scripture. Encourage one another with stories of God's faithfulness in your waiting. Okay, so if we can have the emblems being handed out. Welcome the wait. Welcome the wait. Trust God that He is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine in His good timing. Allow that this time of waiting, allow the Spirit of God to be working in your life. God, what do I need to know? What do I need to see? What do I need to do? How can I wait? How can I wait well? And in the waiting, we can be active and intentional. We can keep praying. God loves to hear our voices. We can trust Him. Remind yourself of Scripture. Remind yourself of who God is. Guard your mind and your hearts in Christ Jesus. Bringing your thoughts before Him. Having the mind of Christ and the attitude of Christ. But also watch and wait and see. How might God be working things out? And along the way, He also reveals to us His goodness. See, when we're watching and we're waiting, we see other things that God is showing. And then trusting together. And I just encourage you to share with one another the things that you're hoping for, the things that you're waiting on God for. Let it be an exciting and an encouraging time. As we have sung this morning, Lord, not my will but yours be done. Reveal the will of the Father. Father, help us to put our trust in you, knowing that you are more than enough for us in the waiting and in the fulfillment of the promise. Help us, oh Lord, to be strong in the waiting, to be steadfast in the waiting. And to be willing to do what you would have us do while we wait. We thank you, Jesus, for your great love for us. We thank you for what you did for us on the cross, in your death and in your resurrection and your ascension. You did that so that we might have life, that we would know the forgiveness of sins. You overcame sin and death for us, that we would have life, that we would have this relationship with the Father. We thank you for that. These emblems that we hold in our hands represent that, and for that we are truly grateful. And Spirit of God, I thank you that you have come, that you are with us and that you are amongst us and that you are within us. And you are the one who strengthens us and helps us to wait well, that helps us to lean in, to pray and to hope. You reveal scriptures to us. You reveal the Father to us. You help us with our thoughts. We thank you for what you are doing, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those around us. I pray that today that you would reveal once again to us those good things that we have been hoping for, that we are waiting for, the fulfillment of your promises, your word, Lord God. Oh, that we would be people who would wait well in this time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Spirit, for all that you have done to bring us to this point today. We continue to pray that you would have your way amongst us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.